everyone. Welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode 12. Today we're on chapter 47 of Genesis, and it's really cool the way the schedule worked out. We get to end Genesis today nice and evenly. I don't have to like cut it short or take it long to end it. So that's great, so that we can start Exodus fresh. Now, this is going to end the story of Joseph, and like it has been the case the last few podcasts, the story's a little tighter and there's a little less material to sort of play around with, so it's mainly going to be description here. There's a couple funny points to make, but I was getting a little annoyed because it's just not a lot is happening. It sort of just describes what's happening. And since, like I've told you a couple times, this has the benefit of being perfected over probably 400 years. That they speculate that this story was sort of a novella by the Hebrews, sort of perfected over time. So I think that's why it's a bit better than the rest. This little Joseph story is a bit better than the rest of it. But the good news is I've read ahead, and the beginning of Exodus is just a gold mine. So we're going to go from pretty boring stuff to just like there's almost every line there's something funny to be said. So hang in there for this chapter. The story is pretty important for the rest of the Bible, though, so it'll be good to at least get that. So chapter 47, let's get right into it. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out to the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." Now, he just told them not to say they're shepherds. It's weird. I went back and I looked, and he said, "Don't say you're shepherds, because they hate shepherds." But then they say they're shepherds. I don't really get that. Well, it turns out to be okay. I don't know if maybe that's some sort of weird translation thing. Like, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. They said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land we are come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." So what's happened is Joseph's brethren have came. They said they're shepherds, and they told the Pharaoh they're shepherds, and the Pharaoh said, "Give them this land and let them take care of my cattle." So that's good. They're getting along. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." And few and evil. 130 years, few and evil? "And have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." The Pharaoh said, "I didn't understand a word you just freaking said." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. According to their families. And there was no bread in all the land. Well, what did he just... Oh, he has all the bread. And for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they had bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. just gathered up all the money. And he's just like, hey, can I have your money? Cool, thanks. Can I your money? Can I have your money? Thanks. Cool. Hey, I'm getting everybody's money. Thanks. Gathered up all the money. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. And Joseph said, okay, so everybody's starving, and they're coming up to Joseph to get the food that he has, apparently he has control of. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all the cattle, So he basically just traded food for all their cattle and stuff. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land will not be desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for the Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. What was the point of that? Moved them from one end to the other? Seems kind of inefficient. So now what's happened is, they basically ran out of everything and said, just buy us, give us food and you can have us. So now Joseph owns all their land, their cattle, and them. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned to them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. So the priests didn't have to sell their land because the Pharaoh already owned it, I guess, or something, or owned a portion of it. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for the seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my word, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. So we got to look at this here. We got to look at the details of this little transaction that's just happened. Now, I'm wondering how, if you remember, how did Joseph go from owning nothing, from just nothing, he was sold to Egypt, to owning all of Egypt now. He basically owns everything. So what started was, first of all, I want to make the point that if you remember, the Pharaoh gave Joseph all this power because he was like a really good manservant. And I wonder like how realistic that is. Like, Joseph, okay, sure, he was a great manservant, but why do you give a good Hebrew manservant who's essentially the race that the Egyptians don't like, you give him all your power pretty much because he's a good servant? Does that happen? Is that what you would do? But anyway, so after that, if you remember, there's Joseph went to prison for his wife, the Pharaoh's wife claiming to Joseph raped her, and then Joseph came back from prison. This is all just a recap. And because the Pharaoh needed his dream interpreted, so Joseph interpreted the dream, and it turned out that there were going to be 7 plenteous years and then 7 years of famine. So Joseph said, well, we need to save up the food for the plenteous years so that we have food for during the famine years, obvious enough. But then somehow... somehow the Pharaoh gave Joseph this responsibility, and I had to look back because I'm wondering how this happened. And the verse that came after that was, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the goods in the cities. So notice Joseph didn't buy the food or anything like that. When he first read this, I thought it meant that I thought it just meant the citizens were just instructed to gather their food and save it in the cities, and Joseph was sort of overseeing that, you know, to make sure everybody gathered enough for the famine years, and that's what I thought it was. But then somehow now we get to this, and somehow he's selling that food back to him, like he owns all the food. Somehow Joseph is like food master of all this food. So Joseph takes their own food from them, and then they're spending money to buy it back. And then after they spend all their money, Joseph takes all their cattle to give them some of their own food. And then they come and they say, well, we have nothing, just buy us. So now Joseph, and I guess it's on behalf of the Pharaoh, but it's Joseph's doing all this, he ends up owning all the people and all their land. And the Pharaoh, and this part was really weird. The Pharaoh removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. I don't even get that part. So now that Joseph bought everyone, the Pharaoh moved them all hundreds and hundreds of miles for no reason during a famine? Like, that really would not be the best use of your time and energy during a famine, I would think. So he just like shuffled everyone around, it sounds like. I don't understand the function of that verse, to be honest. It doesn't make any sense. So now, after all this, they have to pay a 20% tax for the rest of time. So let's just tally up the balance sheet here on this. So the citizens now, in return for giving their own food to Joseph for nothing, I guess, Joseph taking their own food, now they have nothing. And actually, they have a liability of 20% for the rest of their lives. And Joseph, meanwhile, has them, their land, their cattle, and all their money. And all this was a result, again, of taking the corn, which was initially theirs. How in the world did this happen? My point is that this is all obviously fake. This is all made up, because, or at least mostly made up, if not completely. Because surely you'd have a mutiny if this actually happened. Everyone would be like, no, that's our food. We grew that food, so we were saving it to eat during the famine. Why are we all of a sudden having to buy it from you? And it's just unbelievable. It just doesn't make sense. All right, moving on. And then they're all grateful in the end. Oh, thou hast saved our lives. Yeah, with your own food. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part. And Joseph's writing laws now. He's a lawmaker because he was a good servant. Except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Oh, this again. And deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. And he got bedhead. All right, that's the end of that chapter. Basically, all that happened was Jacob, a.k.a. Israel, was getting toward dying, and he made Joseph promise that he'd be buried in... Joseph would bury him in the somewhere else, other than Egypt. All right, next chapter. And it came to pass, as it always, always does, after these things, that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. If you remember, Ephraim and Manasseh, I'm pretty sure were the ones where there was like the race to get out of the mom's vagina. And then the one had this hand out and was like, it's me, I'm finished. And the midwife put a bracelet on, you know, tied something on him. And then the other one's like, no, I'm getting out of here. So the other one got out somehow, juked him, got around him. So that's them. Just a reminder. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when yet there was but little a way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Oh, Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? Who are these people? He says. Joseph said unto my father, They are my sons, idiot, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath shewed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his hand, and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fetched me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of fathers of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So, all that's happened so far is, you know, he's dying, Jacob's dying. So Joseph brought his sons over, and Jacob wants to bless his sons. And there's a little controversy over who is older here. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seeds shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. But God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Oh, you know, I didn't look up what that verse meant. I think I just sort of glossed over it, because honestly, I have no idea what it means. He took something from Amorite with his sword and his bow. Whatever, who cares? It's just a stupid Bible. Who gives a crap? That's the end of the chapter. You know, not a lot to go with there, but there's this funny little thing where, like, they're twins, and somehow it really matters to Joseph which son is older. Like, what does it even mean? They're both conceived at the same time. No one's older. I guess one was alive sort of out of the mom's vagina and one was alive in the vagina. They were both alive, you know, battling to get out. I don't understand what... Weird. And then when Jacob blesses the wrong one, you know, or thinks one's better than the other, Joseph really thinks it matters. Like, what does it matter? If it, okay, they're twins. So, oh, yeah, you think it's going to be that one is the better one? All right, whatever. Go with it. You know, like, what? Why does Joseph care? All righty, moving on. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, and the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it. Defiledst thou it. He went up to my couch. So, Reuben, if you remember, it had that weird little one, you know, quick verse where it said, and Reuben, you know, had sex with his father's concubine. And so he was cast down or something. I guess he lost his birthright. So, that's kind of funny. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. And now they were the ones, if you remember, great history this family has. They were the ones that murdered countless innocent people. And so let's see what Jacob has to say about them. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. A man, yeah, they slew many men, actually, and stole a bunch of stuff. And in their self-will they digged down a wall. I don't know what that means. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So that's it, I guess. So the penalty for murdering countless people is that you will be divided in Israel. Not so bad, not so bad. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding, so Judah's the best one, I guess. He's given Judah all the good blessings, I think. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. That's two different things. He washed his garments in wine, but he washed his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good in the land, that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto a tribute. Dan, this is getting all really boring. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of blowing through this. He's just telling each of his stupid kids what's going to happen to them, I guess. Which, obviously, this was just written, you know, later when everything had already happened and just made up. Dan shall be a judge to his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way, and by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backwards. I have awaited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, G-A-D, Gad. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Gad's like, that's kind of vague. That's it. There's no blessing. No, just at some point a troop will overcome me and I'll overcome that. All right, whatever. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Benjamin's going to be a werewolf, I guess? Is that what he's predicting? All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Zac Ephron the Hittite. Ah, Zac Ephron the Hittite. In the cave... I'm adding the Zac, it's just Ephron. And it's not spelled with an F, it's a PH. But still, Zac Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with a field of Ephron, Zac Ephron the Hittite, for possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. Again, more of this recapping. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end commanding his sons, finally he stopped talking. He gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Finally, that frickin' bag of wind died. Gosh. Just talk and talk and talk, and you will do this, and you're a werewolf, and you're a tiger, and you're like, shut up. Chapter 50. And Joseph fell upon his father's face, and wept upon him, and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him. For so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. The Egyptians hate the Hebrews. Yet they're going to mourn for this guy's father. This is so clearly made up. Like they're setting it, you know, it's so clearly glossed by the Hebrews. Like, yeah, the Egyptians mourned. They loved Jacob and they mourned and everyone cared. And they were so sad that he died. Made up. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die, and my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. Come again? Joseph... is asking the Pharaoh if he can leave and go bury his father in that place where Zac Ephron sold to him. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of the Pharaoh and the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. Yeah, just everybody went. They just loved him so much, even though he did nothing for them. Joseph did everything, but Joseph's dad somehow matters. And all the house of Joseph and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and made a mourning for his father 7 days. They just mourned 7 days. They said, mourned. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians, wherefore the name of it is called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according to as he commanded them. For his sons carried him unto the land of Canaan, and buried him in a cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for possession of the burying place of Zac Efron the Hittite before Mamre. So it's all sad, boo-hoo, they go bury him, and basically the way it's described, it sounds like Evita just died, and all of the entire world is mourning over Jacob. Cannot be real. Cannot be real. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brother also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. His brethren must be pretty stupid. So basically, sorry, to sum up what just happened, his brethren were afraid that Joseph was now going to kill them, and so they made up a note saying, or they made up the fact that the father said, be sure to forgive them. You know, the brethren said to Joseph, our father's dying wish was that you forgive us, basically. But, I mean, he could have murdered them like 200 times over by now, and he didn't. Why would it be any different now? He's never shown a mean bone in his body. I think, he's just shown a lot of stupid bones in his body. That's all. Joseph has. I don't know why his brethren suddenly think that he's going to turn evil. He's done nothing but good. Weird. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You know, they seem to be doing just fine where they are. I mean, all the Egyptians, all the Hebrews are like, yeah, no, we got food. You gave us food. We got everything we want here. You know, we feel fine. What's the difference? One sandy desert place to another sandy desert place. Who cares? We'll just hang out here. But Joseph's like, no, someday you'll be free from all this. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And that is the end of Genesis. Yay, we finished our first book. Finally, only 12 episodes later. So that's great. Genesis sucked. The end was a little boring there, but trust me, Exodus is just, like, unstoppable. It's so ridiculous, so that'll be fun. So, wow, if you've gotten through all of this with me, that's pretty cool. So, good for you. So, you now know the book of Genesis and every stupid thing about it, I think. So, spread the word. Make fun of it in front of people. No, I don't know. Alrighty, well, I'll see you guys tomorrow. And as always, thanks. And send comments to comments@thomasandthebible.com. And see you later.